a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's really loud. But I like loud music to start off the Jazz Notes podcast, where we talk everything Utah jazz. And joining me here today, you know, we've had, you know, a couple weeks ago, we started this back up again. I did it by myself, and then I had a guest, and then I had Spencer Hall in here. But today, we have the venerable, the one, the only, Alex Carey, the host of the new hit show on KSL News Radio. It's called Unrivaled.
That's right. They got the Jazz Media workout coming up here tomorrow.
And you're participating in this?
Yeah, and I'm nervous about it, man.
Why is
that? I'll tell you. Well, because they invite the media, and they've taken a couple years off of this. But honestly, they like work you out, and they laugh about it. And so they want the media members to get worked out and to kind of get sore. So I'm not looking forward to that. But I am looking forward to it. They asked us our jersey numbers. So I'm assuming we're going to get a nice little junior jazz practice jersey to put on during the workout session. So
it's going to come in a medium. No, but it's a medium for you.
What ends up happening is, so you do this, and then media day is on Monday. And so we're off and running. I mean, and now that they've moved the season up, the preseason games and the regular season games, they've moved them up. I mean, we're less than a month out, right, from, like, actually watching some preseason games.
Yeah, most of the stuff you're talking about right now still on Unrivaled. Lots of college football, lots of NFL.
Yeah.
Because it's just started.
It's going on right now. Yeah.
Well, but it's not only that.
And it just started, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, you know, BYU-Utah, well, they played three games. And the NFL, they played two games.
Yeah,
and so
you're
barely into the season. I'm not complaining. It's just that it feels here we go.
Well, and in October, we always have to do this every year where we go, oh, we got to start thinking about the NBA here.
Yeah.
It's a nice little wrinkle in the things that you're already doing with football that we're covering. So it's an exciting time of the year. And they got the new purple jerseys. Oh, everything's so exciting.
We'll talk about the purple jerseys here in a second. I want to talk about ESPN 100. It's their 100 best players.
Different from the...
It's way different than Sports Illustrated right now.
Like, better? Do we like this one better?
If you like that Donovan Mitchell is number 22,
hey,
and Rudy Gobert is number 23.
ESPN, I was with a hot take, man.
Yeah, hey.
Wait, how on earth is Rudy Gobert 23?
What they do is that they base this a little bit differently than what they did. Basically, Sports Illustrated just basically said, we're going to take what's in the past and we're going to just kind of guess where we think these guys are going to be in our top 100.
And it's a little bit of a gut feeling on the Sports Illustrated one, yeah?
Well,
based on some past performance.
ESPN, they're not basing on past performance. It's almost like they just talked to a bunch of industry insiders, maybe some people who just like to watch basketball too, is how I heard it explained. And they just are saying, here's who we think will be the best 100 basketball players this season. And so that's why they say, yeah, we think Donovan Mitchell is probably going to be the 22nd best basketball player in the NBA this season, and Rudy Gobert is going to be number 23. Here's probably the reason why, Alex. Here's the reason why they put Donovan up at number 22, because they think he could potentially, this is high thinking here,
yeah,
25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists a game. That would be amazing if he was able to do that this season.
Think about what it took, and again, I think that we were assuming there was going to be more of this after Hayward kind of a situation. But because last year was the very first year without Gordon Hayward, and we were much more excited about the team because of how electric Donovan Mitchell was. Think about how long it took for him to get to the 20-point threshold. It took 7 years, and it took a kajillion dollars. And you already got there with Donovan Mitchell. I think 25 is aggressive. I just don't know if they're going to put the ball in his hands that much compared to what they did last year. I mean, they gave him the ball a ton as a rookie. Maybe they might dial it up some, but they certainly know that the bread's going to be buttered with him. I think the thing is, too, I think you should ask for more points out of Rudy Gobert. If you're doing that, then you're not necessarily going to get as many points out. Now, I will say the second half of his season that Donovan Mitchell had, you probably were around that 25-point threshold because he was having some huge games to get him over that 20-point threshold. But I think that I think that 25 is a little aggressive. But hey, look, more attention to the Jazz, the better. I just think 25 points is a little aggressive.
Here's the one thing I would say about Rudy Gobert scoring. He needs to be set up to score. So the only way he's going to score more points is if he gets it in a prime position for him to score.
So because, not developing his 21 to 26 foot jump shot?
No. I think that's a bad idea. I would even take a mini jump hook every once in a while if we could, but I'm not even sure that's in the books right
Teams
now.
Teams don't defend him until he's inside that ring, that little half circle underneath the hoop, so I don't know.
Yeah. Other guys that are in there, Derek Favors was the one the highest. He was at 83, but the other two starters from last season, Joe Ingles and Ricky Rubio, all made the top 100.
That's great.
That's saying something for your team when you've got every member of your starting lineup in the top 100.
They
right
did
now.
That with they were on the same thing with the Sports Illustrated version of this, and they were one of only four or five teams that had all five of their guys in the top 100. Now, and you notice too, they're kind of in that in the ESPN one, they have a little bit of a higher draw up there. Although on the Sports Illustrated one, I think Rudy Gobert is like 15. But Donovan's much higher. I think if you were to average the numbers out, they're kind of just like plumb right, maybe like a 30, 32 probably for an average. But that's with all five of your starters in the top 100. That's a pretty good thing to say because that means you're balanced. It just means you're balanced, and I think that that's what you're looking for. Although we'll take the superstardom too of Donovan Mitchell.
I just wanted to give you this time, this platform, this, 30 seconds to a minute to talk about how the hunk for the Jazz, who you called the hunk for the Jazz,
Ricky Rubio
be number 51. Anything you want to add with Ricky Rubio being number 51?
Just look really good. Really want to see him do really good this year. I love listening to Ricky Rubio, and I think that it didn't take long for him to match up with Quinn Snyder's system to the style of play that make the Jazz the best Jazz team that they can be. I mean, I know that sounds cheesy and cliche, but they came in and they all kind of bought in, and that's what you want. They did it early, and there's no way that they can't build off of last year by being even better this year. And look, you've got even more exposure to the West with the Lakers getting LeBron. I think that, and I think the Jazz are going to be better than the Lakers. And anytime a LeBron team has come here, even with good Cavalier teams that have come into Vivint Arena, the Jazz have beaten them. I mean, it's like they have LeBron's number for some reason, and hopefully they can parlay that into something a little bit better for them playoffs-wise. But again, a 3 or 4 spot in the playoffs and 50-plus wins, you know, I think that's in the future.
All right. We've got a guest coming up here on Jazz Notes. By the way, please subscribe anytime you want. Apple Podcasts, do it there, or you can do it on the KSL News Radio app. We do have a guest coming up, Nick Gallo. He writes about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're gonna talk to him. 5 minutes, 5 questions. Of course, that never seems to hold up, the 5 minutes or 5 questions.
With me here.
No. Alex is going to probably – so he's going to ruin it for a third straight week in a row.
I'm just going to take my headphones off and just let you do it, man. Every once in a while I'll go, you liar!
How mean. Now, one of the other guys that's in ESPN's top 100 who says, I want out of here, and that's Jimmy Butler. He says, I want out of here. Now, he says, I want to go to a team. I want to go to either the Clippers, the Nets, or the Knicks. None of those teams made it to the playoffs last year, but they're going to have a lot of cap space available.
Yeah, I roll my eyes about it.
Okay, so let's play fantasy here. I don't have any great.
Okay.
Maybe I'll find some later and we'll put it in. But anyway, let's play fantasy here. Let's say the Jazz, he threw the Jazz in there as one of his teams he wants to play. Or not. Maybe the Jazz just want to take a chance on him.
You'd have to throw some... That top all five guys being in the top 100 would be thrown to the wind, right? Like that would be tossed out. I don't know what you give up for Jimmy Butler. I don't know what his, because at the same time, I don't know if that's what you want is to, well, again, adding a great basketball player. I don't want to give up Slow-Mo Joe. That's the thing.
Would you give up Ricky Rubio?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, because Jimmy Butler could be the new hunk of the team.
I mean, look at his hair and everything.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine?
Yes, he's got that brilliant
smile.
That's
all we're basing it on right now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Look, you can't – that's the thing is the Jazz are like, we'll take Jimmy Butler. You can have Ricky Rubio, but we also want some considerations, some beauty considerations, maybe send over some of your hottest prospects from Europe, some guys with long hair. That could really get like that. The ladies, they'll sell the ladies the posters here in Salt Lake City.
I thought maybe you'd want a beard moisturizer or something like that. Maybe to add that in. No, realistically, I mean, those are two guys I guess you could do. But in reality, I'm not sure the Jazz are, they even have.
Do you want to mess it up? I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing. Do you want to mess it up? Does he fit in to this system? Because he's kind of an ISO guy. You noticed that when he was in Chicago.
No, who knows? I mean, like. He went and played also in Minnesota with Tom Thibodeau, and because he liked him, he likes Tom Thibodeau. But there's a certain style of play you want out of a guy, and I think he's too much of a give me the ball on the outside, let me do my thing. And I don't really like that as much for the Jazz right now. So I'm fine with him not coming. Somebody was like, oh, could the Jazz get him? And somebody wrote this mean article about, like, hey, Jazz fans, settle down. You're not getting Jimmy Butler. You're not cool enough. And I was like, the Jazz don't need Jimmy Butler. Honestly, they really don't. And if he goes to the Clippers, you can kind of go, ooh, that's a good draw for the Clips. But look, hang out in mediocrity in New Jersey for the rest of your career, for all I care. I mean, have to be fun. Honest, have a great time.
Yeah, exactly.
We do this thing. We get a little grumpy about it if they don't mention the Jazz. I'd want to play for the Clippers or the Nets or the Jazz. I wanted to cover all different parts of the United States with that one.
Should the Jazz just even take a chance?
No.
And just even say anything to them?
No.
Just because they'd get at least one season, if they're able to swing something, they'd get at least one season in which they could possibly convince him to stay.
Should they even run?
Yeah, I would still say no. I want to hear what you...
I don't think so. I don't think you do it. I think you keep the team intact. And honestly, you know, Dennis Lindsay's smart enough, too, where they, you know, you get him and you sit down and you go, we want you to come here. But the reality is, do you know what this guy is made of? They do a lot more homework on these guys they bring in than just like, are you a good basketball player? It's got to match up with the system. It's got to match up with Quinn Snyder. It's got to match up with the culture of what the team has going on right now. And I don't know, that might mess it up because you're already going to be getting rid of at least one or maybe two of your top 100 guys to get Jimmy Butler.
He's 29. He's going to be 30 next year. He'll be a free agent. He's going to ask for a lot of money, probably around $190 million or something like that. Do you want to pay him that?
No.
I would say no.
No, leave that money on the table for Donovan Mitchell in the future, too. And you go, look, we'll pay you. Stay here, and we'll give you $25 million a year.
All right, we're going to have Nick Gallo coming up next here on the Jazz Notes podcast. Again, download, subscribe, give us a review, rating. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. Nick Gallo talking all things Thunder coming up next on the Jazz Notes podcast. Have I said Jazz Notes podcast enough? Yeah, I have. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast right here. You can listen to us on the KSL News Radio app, plenty of other places. And right now, it's 5 minutes or five questions with Nick Gallo, who covers the Oklahoma City Thunder. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, no problem, no problem. All right, you know, in the past few weeks, I've had something that kind of keeps track of what we talked to, you know, kind of keeps track of the time. I'm not going to do it this week. I'm just going to keep track of the time right now. 5 minutes, five questions. I'm going to start out. Alex is going to go next. First question for you, Nick. GM Sam Presti says he won't push Russell Westbrook to get back into action after knee surgery. So when do you think we're going to actually see Westbrook back on the court?
Well, Sam sort of addressed that today in his press conference to kind of open up the season heading into training camp. Russell Westbrook still is sort of in week one or so of that four-week reevaluation period. So it's looking like kind of towards mid-October when he'll be reevaluated. And at that point, guys, your guess is as good as mine in terms of whether he'll be ready to come back. As you know, and as Sam pointed out today, with human beings and medicine, everything is up in the air. But he did caution that he doesn't think that they'll be without Westbrook for very long.
Well, in the front end of the year is when you want to be without somebody, obviously, preferred to the later end of the year. So, and a guy like Russell Westbrook, you got to make sure that he's 100%. Otherwise, your team's not going to be 100%. What are the feelings right now in Oklahoma City with the last couple of seasons having such good players on the team and just not being able to make it click totally there, especially in the playoffs?
Well, I think that that's something that hopefully can be addressed for this team here in this next stretch. They finally have some continuity. I think in the Billy Donovan era, that's been one thing that has been constant is all the change. Each year, the roster has looked completely different. And this season now, you've got Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Steven Adams, Andre Robertson, Jeremy Grant, kind of five guys who all fit a very similar athletic profile. That are locked up for the next 3 years, basically, almost all of them. And so you have a core like that. Billy Donovan now has a group and a set of guys that he can go with and run with. And hopefully they'll have some chemistry and continuity after a year between Westbrook and George. And I think, obviously, just the changes to the roster this offseason with the addition of Dennis Schroeder, subtraction of Carmelo Anthony, the addition of Nerlens Noel. This team's going to be able to play a lot faster with a lot more tempo. And that goes for both sides of the ball, to be able to be more aggressive and attack more on the defensive end, and then obviously to be able to get out, play with a rhythm, and play in space out in the open court on the other end of the floor. And I think if they can get more efficient baskets, that's going to help them come playoff time.
It's been over a year since Paul George was traded to the Thunder. Are you still surprised that he's actually coming back this season with all the talk from last season? Or did you just see it kind of working along throughout the season that he really liked Oklahoma City, he liked Russell Westbrook, he liked this team, and that you felt like he was going to come back?
Well, I couldn't tell you anything, and it wasn't necessarily my opinion versus anybody else's. The only thing I could go off of is what Paul was saying all season long, was that he really loved being a part of the Thunder organization. He had been impressed since day one at the reception that he and his family had gotten, all the different amenities that the organization has provided, and just the feel and the comfort he felt with Sam Presti and the rest of the front office, and obviously Russell Westbrook. He and the two all-stars there have become very close buddies. So I couldn't say that I predicted it, but if you go back and read all the transcripts, it certainly makes a lot of sense that he would want to come back. And obviously for the Thunder to have him back for as many years as he decided to return for is massive. And also I think it's a great statement for this organization and the values that they've tried to stand for over the last 10 years as this kind of fledgling franchise has gotten up on its feet, is that, you know, people will stay in Oklahoma City. People will want to come to Oklahoma City and play because of what's been built there. As you guys know, in a small market in Utah, I mean, the Jazz organization has operated at an extremely high level and has been an attractive place as well. So for teams to be able to get that validation in this way is really nice, and obviously feels great for the entire city that a guy like Paul George wants to plant his flag and be here long term.
They kind of did this sort of L.A. rollout, you know, of like revealing that he was going to stay there. There's that feeling of like something you would get in a New York or a Los Angeles type, you know, reveal from a guy like Carmelo or from LeBron. And it means a lot, I think, to see that to an organization because, you know, if you're Sam Presti and you look at it and you go, look, this is the guy we've invested a lot in. We'll invest more in. And they know it's not easy for somebody to stay in Oklahoma City. Heaven knows that once people get to a place like Oklahoma City or like Salt Lake City, when they're playing there, they go, oh, I like the situation I'm in. I like that it's not this crazy rush. I like that I can actually have, like, my family here. I mean, it's always kind of a famous thing here where we go, like, Darren Williams kept his family here and his kids go to school here because they're like, this is a city that is way more stable than some of the other ones that you don't want your kids to grow up in. And so I think that him planting his flag like that brings some stability to the organization, and certainly – that is a good start for, you know, an organization that's looking around going, when are we going to take that next step?
Yep. Well, and if you think about it, you know, for the first time really in a number of years, this Thunder organization does have that stability moving forward now. Think about they were going into Serge Ibaka's contract year, and they trade for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, and then the next summer it's Kevin Durant's contract is up, and then the next summer it's Russell Westbrook's contract is up, and then the next summer it's Paul George's contract is up. And now finally you're looking at about a 3-year window where there won't be any drama that's coming down the pipe, hopefully. And so I think it's a big thing for the franchise to not have to be looking ahead into the distance too far. And being able to just concentrate on the here and now. I mean, that's been a pillar of the franchise is trying to do your work every day and focus on all 82. And I think the team really has an opportunity for that now.
All right, we're past 5 minutes, Nick, but I have one really quick last question for you.
I knew you couldn't do it. Yeah, I knew you couldn't
yeah,
do it.
I'm the one who's going to fail this time around. So Russell Westbrook and his wife, they're going to have twin girls. Are you going to try and convince them to name one after you? You know, like Nikki or, I don't know, could Gallo be a girl name?
Like,
what do you think?
Like a trending name, yeah.
If not, maybe you can convince him Alex, because that could be a girl name,
I like
too.
That one, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, guys, I have a feeling they've got some names picked out already. Russell's kind of an early bird anyway. You go to any event that Russell Westbrook's at, he's always the first one there. So I have a feeling they've got some names picked out already.
Well, and he's kind of got that Kanye West thing, too, where you're like, oh, you're ahead of the curve on names, I feel like, already, too. It'll be like groundbreaking, I feel like. We'll be like, I never thought about that name.
Well, you know, he went biblical on his son with Noah, so I'm very curious to see what he does with the twin girls. Very traditional on the first one, so we'll see. What
appeals
he does
to the Southern Baptists down there. It's good.
That's right.
Hey, Nick, thanks a lot for joining us, and we can't wait to see you when you come through Salt Lake.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, so that was Nick Gallo joining us here on the Jazz Notes podcast. What do you think, Alex? You think the Thunder, they going to take the Northwest Division, or do you think the Utah Jazz are still the favorites? I mean, you got to be careful for this team. It's not like they're a bunch of chumps because the Jazz beat them in the first round of the playoffs. They've got good players.
There was a question about whether or not Paul George was just there to see if it could work for that year. And there's a feeling, too, at the end, like, no, it didn't work, and he was probably moving on. But when he dug in, I think that that makes a difference. And I think that the Jazz notice that kind of thing, and they go, ooh, that's a team. I guarantee that they're more worried about the Thunder than they are about the Lakers, because – once you have a couple of superstars, then you're talking about something that's special there. And I think that Russell Westbrook, he gets knocked for being a lot of things. One of them is, you know, a fierce competitor. He doesn't get knocked for that. He gets for being like, oh, man, you want to beat that guy. Look at that face that he's making at you. Look how much he's taunting you while he's beating you. And he's a fierce competitor. You cannot argue with the fact that he is an amazing guy to watch. He can take over a game. The Jazz have watched it happen over the last couple of years. And the Jazz have had their number. I mean, they've just been able to get after them. And then playoffs last year, they showed, hey, the team thing is really what works. And I think that they've solidified more of their team with getting Paul George really ratcheted down there. You're going to see him kind of have to be the guy carrying the load at the beginning of the year, obviously. But I think by December and January, you're going to look and go, yeah, those Thunder, they're put together and they're pretty good.
In the movie Casablanca.
Oh, boy, I knew it.
No, in the very – well, they use it in Bugs Bunny, too.
You do this every show.
At the very end – yeah, I bring up Bugs Bunny or Casablanca every single show. At the end of that movie, they say, we believe this will be the beginning of a beautiful relationship together. I think that the Jazz and Thunder in the playoffs, this will be the start of a beautiful rivalry. At least for right now. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's good that they have this sort of rivalry there. It was good that the Jazz won. But this is a team I'd be scared of. This is a team I'd be scared of. Real quickly, Darren Williams, Jerry Sloan get together. Story about that on NBA.com from Aaron Falk. What'd you think about that?
I love it. Look, I mean, anytime we can hear anything about the coach, it's good. And I think that with him getting on in years, it's a good time to get together and say, hey, you know what? Whatever thing that everybody perceives of how much we quote-unquote hated each other, whatever, it's good for them to get together because, Jerry's not doing great health-wise, but I hope that they wrap everything up and they can everybody can move on from it. Yeah.
Jerry was pretty salty, it sounds like, when they met up. But, yeah, I agree. It was good that Darren came forward and thought, I got to do this now.
At the very least, that's what he can say. And, you know, I think that honestly, yeah, I mean, if you've seen Jerry Sloan the last few years, it just doesn't seem like himself. And so if you're Darren Williams, that's the right thing to do.
Are you going to go out and buy the brand new throwback jersey for
honestly,
the 2018-19 season?
I'm getting my kid one.
Are you
no
really?
No joke. Yeah, because I want him to be – and he doesn't listen to the Jazz Notes podcast, hopefully. I'm not, but it's going
to
be that's going
to
be a Christmas present this year. You got to give him the purple.
The purple's
coming
back,
baby. I'm going to try to find
some
really, really short purple shorts for him.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening to us. Again, as I said, I already said that you're listening to us. Thanks for doing that. We're going to have another show next week. Again, when season starts, we're going to be doing this twice a week. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.